I'm here still very much energized by our topic this morning because this is about knowing God. And when it is about knowing God, everything stops. I mean, whatever it is, anuman yung mga bumabagabag sa'yo, this is about God and you are trying to let men know that they can know God. Walang kasing dakila na pagkakakilala kesa ang makilala ang Diyos. Now, sa ating mga nakaraan, inumpisahan ko sa pagsasabi na we can never comprehend, that is, we can never have a comprehensive knowledge of God for this simple reason. We can categorize all existence as only of two categories. Of course, marami tayo ma-categorize, pero sa pinakapayak na pagkakategorya, dalawa lamang, God and everything else. And as you can see, everything else is represented by a small circle, and God is the big circle, which means we cannot contain God. Hindi maaring maging laman ng kabuuan ng Diyos ng ating kaalaman. Mumunti lang yung ating kaalaman. So something that we must stress when we discuss knowledge of God is you can never have a complete knowledge of God. Mahalaga po yan sa humility, kapag nagkaroon na ng discussion sa, paano to, bakit ganyan, at yung mga iba-ibang misteryo ng pagka-Diyos, we need to come to the point where we say there are things we simply cannot comprehend of God. Having said that, we cannot comprehend God completely, yet we can have a true knowledge of God. Merong totoong pagkakakilala sa Diyos. May knowledge of God na matatawag nating true, merong false, because God revealed Himself. And because God revealed Himself, nagpahayag ang Diyos, parang kumbaga nagpakilala ang Diyos, may mga bagay na masasabi natin na tama yan, dahil yan ay ayon sa pahayag ng Diyos. May mga bagay na masasabi natin mali yan, sapagkat kontra yan sa ipinahayag ng Diyos. At may mga bagay naman na sasabihin natin, hindi ko alam. We are not certain about that. It is not something revealed, but something that does not necessarily contradict revelation. So yan yung mga bagay na tungkol sa pagkakilala sa Diyos, hindi lubos-lubos, pero may totoo. At dapat hanapin natin yung totoong pagkakilala sa Diyos. At kapag totoo ang pagkakilala natin sa Diyos, ay ang isa ring pinagdiinan ko, it's personal. At kapag personal, merong tinatawag sa mga theologians na I-thou. Hindi lamang I-he. Kapag pinag-uusapan natin ang isang tao third person, hindi personal, kundi siya lang yon. O pag naging subject na lang, I-it, hindi pa rin personal yon. When it is God we are seeking to know, we cannot but be required to be personal to our God. He is our God, kaya I-thou relationship ang panawagan ng Diyos sa atin. Then last week, we discussed different forms of knowledge of God. At si Apostle po lang nagbigay ng comprehensive teaching concerning knowledge of God. Dalawang klase. Meron sa lahat ng mga tao, meron na silang knowledge of God. Yung tinatawag nating innate knowledge of God. While in the case of believers, they have a saving knowledge of God. Pero ang diniinan ko doon ay yung innate, lahat ng tao meron na yan, except that according to Romans 1, they suppress it. Sinusupil nila, inaayawan nila, pero naroon yun, nakalagay, nakatanim sa kanilang kamalayan, yung knowledge of God, and therefore we do have common ground. Bagamat magkaiba ang believer at unbeliever, meron silang common ground because of that innate knowledge of all people of God. Kaya pagkausapin mo ang isang tao tungkol sa Diyos, may responding chord siya. Kasi inilagay sa kanyang kamalayan yung pagkakilala at pagkaalam sa Diyos. They know God, but they did not want to retain God in their knowledge. Yan ang sabi ng kasulatan. Ngayon, ang titingnan natin ngayon ay what becomes the object of knowledge by man concerning God. So eto tayo ngayon. Gusto nating malaman ang mga bagay tungkol sa Diyos. Mas makilala siya. Ano ba yun talaga na dapat ay nalalaman natin para masabi natin nakikilala natin ang Diyos? At dyan po natin uumpisahan ang tinatawag na attributes of God. Mga katangian ng Diyos. Umpisahan natin sa dalawang model of encounter with God in the Old Testament. Ang una ay yung kay Moises. Ito ang naging encounter nila. Sinabi ni Moses, ito'y pagkatapos nung incident ng golden calf. At ngayon, parang lumapit si Moses sa Panginoon. At ang sabi niya, Please show me your glory. Can you imagine that request? Pag tayo yun, ang paglapit natin sa Diyos parang genie. Three wishes. My first wish. Eh, hindi ganun ang sinabi ni Moses. In the presence of God, the only request that comes to his mind is, show me your glory. And very mysterious yung sagot ng Panginoon sa kanya. You will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Anong ibig sabihin yan? Now later, mapag-aaralan natin yung spirituality of God means wala siyang body parts. Kaya yung back dito at yung face, ito ay figure of speech lang na hindi ibig sabihin may mukha siya talaga at meron siyang likod. Ang sinasabi riyan ay, anuman ang malaman natin sa Diyos, hindi ito direct na nakikita natin yung mismong siya sapagkat that is impossible. Yan ang sabi ng Panginoon kay Moises, hindi maaari. Kaya maski ang mga Israelita nakiusap kay Moises, speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die. That direct encounter between the Holy God and the sinner is just not possible. Maski sa New Testament, sinabi iyan, Unang Timoteo, siya lamang ang walang kamatayan at naninirahan sa liwanag na di malapitan, na hindi nakita ng sino mang tao o makikita man. Sumakanya na ang karangalan at paghaharing walang hanggan. So, hindi nakikita, hindi makikita. At yan ang ibig sabihin na, you cannot see my face. Therefore, any revelation of God ay ito yung tinatawag nating after effects. We see not God himself in his all personal being, but rather he shows himself through the effects of what he is. At yan na po ang tinatawag nating attributes. Yung kanyang mga katangian ang nararanasan natin tungkol sa Diyos. Kaya ito ang naging tugon ng Diyos kay Moises, show me your glory. Ano yung glory na dumaan kay Moises? The Lord passed before him and proclaimed. So ano yun? The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, etc. So, pansinin nyo, hindi sinabi ng Diyos, eto, daraan ako, eto na ako. Ang sinabi niya, sige, daraan ako sa iyo, ang mararanasan mo ay mga katangian ko. Ang mararanasan mo ay ang aking pagiging faithful, ang aking pagiging merciful, ang aking steadfast love, ang aking forgiveness of iniquity, yet visiting iniquity as well. Ang punto riyan ay, our experience of God is experience of attributes, characters. Kaya huwag tayong maniwala dun sa magsasabing naranasan ko ang Diyos sa isang busilak na liwanag o naranasan ko ang Diyos sa isang napakagandang imahen o sa isang panaginip at pangitain. Ang karanasan natin ng Diyos ay hindi yung diretsohang nakikita natin siya. Ang karanasan natin sa Kanya ay through His attributes. And now the effects on Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worship. That's the effect of the attribute. Pag naranasan mo siya, you will respond in worship. So, yan si Moses, nag-respond siya in worship. And what we learn here is that worship is the response generated by the apprehension of divine attributes. Kaya dito tayo mag-ingat. Kasi, especially yung mga nag-aaral talaga ng theology, maraming madidiscuss ng mga philosophical issues pagdating sa attributes ng God at maaari tayong masadlak na lang doon sa mga philosophical discussions at mawala yung response of worship. Kaya tandaan natin, kapag may naranasan ka at may natutunan na attribute ng katangian ng Diyos, let your first response be one of worship. So yan ang karanasan natin ng when we sense the attributes of God, the right response, primary, immediate response is worship. So you're not worshiping an idol, you're not worshiping a physical representation, you are worshiping God through responding to His attributes. Yung inawit natin kanina, napakaganda nun na yung tungkol sa kanyang majesty at yung iba't iba niyang attribute na binanggit, that's worship in response to his attributes. And tingnan natin ang ikalawang model na gagamitin ko ay Isaiah 40. And again, Isaiah 40, God is revealing Himself as the true King of Israel in the face of the claims of Babylon and other nations. At anong nasa Isaiah 40? Well, again, malimit ito yung behold your God. And behold, the Lord God comes with might. His arm rules. And then the next paragraph, all nations are as nothing before Him. And third, have you not known, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So, yung pagkaranas ng Diyos, again, what we see here are attributes. We experience the attributes of God. Now, knowing God's attributes will involve concepts. Kaya napag-uusapan natin, mailalagay natin sa mga definition. Ibig sabihin, conceptual, there is a discussion of the attributes of God which will become conceptual. And that means we may single out specific attributes. Bagamat hindi natin mapaghihiwalay, pero pwede natin isa-isahin. Kapag hinihimay natin ang mga iba't ibang katangian ng Diyos, pwede natin pag-usapan halimbawa pag-ibig ng Diyos. O pag-usapan natin ang kanyang katapatan. Anong ibig sabihin nun? So we can discuss them individually. So sa iba't ibang kalagayan ng Kristiyano, may mga particular na attribute ang meaningful. Kapag ikaw ay in affliction, ang sabi ni Paul, my power is made perfect in weakness. So when you are weak, you become dependent on the power of God, or in thanksgiving for the goodness and blessings of God, nararanasan mo yung kanyang love. Or in times that you are conscious of sins, you experience His mercy. O maaari yung kanyang love, sinabi sa 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Yung assurance nun ay talagang napakaganda. Kaya we may single out specific attributes, however, we may not partition the fullness of His divinity. Hindi natin pwedeng hatiin, hindi natin pwedeng paglabanin ang mga attributes. Wala tayong pwedeng sabihin, etong gusto kong attribute, ayoko niyan. Madalas mangyari ito halimbawa sa mercy at justice. Gusto ng mga tao yung mercy. Mercy means, of course, forgiving sins. God is responding to the misery of His creatures. Gustong-gusto natin yan. Pero because gusto ng mga tao ng mercy, nalilimutan nila yung part ng justice. Justice demands satisfaction. Ibig sabihin, kung may law, merong penalty, yung penalty na yon hindi basta pwedeng ipagwalang bahala dahil merciful siya. Ayan ang inaakala ng marami, merciful siya, magpo-forgive siya. Pero wala silang iniisip paano yung satisfaction ng kanyang justice. And the only answer to that, of course, is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There we can see mercy and justice meet on the cross of Christ. So one attribute cannot be used at the expense of another. Yung kanyang pagiging father sa relasyon niya sa atin, hindi pwedeng tanggalin ang kanyang pagiging lawgiver. So sa lahat ng yan, bagamat pwede nating isa-isahin ang attributes, hindi natin sila pwedeng paglabanin. Ngayon, isang special na issue ang gusto kong tingnan natin ngayong umaga, dahil matatalaka ito sa iba't ibang attributes. Kaya dito na natin talakayin. Ang issue ay, is there an emotion in God? Does God display or exercise emotion? May damdamin ba ang Diyos? May emosyon? Tinatanong ko yan sapagkat noong medieval theology, naging popular ang attribute ng tinatawag na impassibility. Hindi P-O-S-S, kundi P-A-S-S. Impassibility means God without passion. God without emotion. Isa ring katawagan dyan ay apathy. God is without passion, apathetic. Pero dahil naging negative ang salitang apathy, parang indifference, ayaw na nila yan. Pero nung medieval period, yan ang popular na salita. the apathy of God. Now, bago natin ito sagutin, tingnan muna natin bakit naging popular ang ideya na yan. Kasi gusto nilang ibahin ang Diyos sa mga Diyos ng mga pagano. Ang mga Diyos ng mga pagano ay moody. Baka nagising ng mali, galit, mainit ang ulo, ay baka magpadala ng bagyo yan o ng salot sa isang komunidad. Even their chief god, Zeus, eh sinong may engganyong lumapit sa Diyos na nakasimangot? Muusok pa yata yung tainga. Pero ganyan ang mga paganong Diyos. Iba-iba ng emosyon, napaka-moody, at takot ang mga tao kung ano-anong ginagawa nila ng dahil sa kanilang pagkakakilala sa kanilang mga Diyos. Ngayon, ayaw ng mga Kristiyano ng ganyang pagkakilala sa Diyos. Kaya dahil sa mali ang mga emosyon na pinapakita ng mga paganong Diyos, kanilang sinabi na walang ganyang emosyon ng Diyos. So, they have a right direction to differentiate God. However, it eroded into a concept of God without emotion, except in figurative terms. Ibig sabihin, yung mga emotion na nakikita natin sa Biblia, sabi nila, kagaya din ng mga physical parts. Figurative lang yon. Wala talagang physical part ang God. Figurative lang. So, ganun din pag nagsabi ng emotion, we must take them as figurative, not literal. Kaya yun ang naging kanilang pagpapaliwanag. Well, there is a better explanation. We must stress that God is independent of creation. So that arrow is to say that God does not depend on creation. We must reject any myth, anumang alamat na nalungkot ang Diyos kaya lumikha siya ng tao. Any idea that God was looking for something because of his lonesome self kaya lumikha ng tao, mali iyan. God is sufficient in himself. Pag pinag-aralan natin ang Trinity, there is love within the three persons of the Godhead. Kaya hindi nila kailangan na may umibig sa kanila. So, God is above his creation. However, God genuinely relates to creation. Since he created, nakikipagkaroon siya ng talagang totoong relasyon sa kanyang mga nilikha. Kaya the proper approach is to deny moodiness that characterized the pagan gods. However, the God of the Scriptures is a God of emotivity. Ang Diyos ng kasulatan ay Diyos na may damdamin. He has the capacity to exercise and express personal emotions. However, we must immediately add, all those emotions are holy emotions. Lahat ng emosyon ng Diyos ay mga banal na emosyon. With the stress last night, I had a lot of emotions and I can say they were holy. But in the case of the emotions of God, we will always assert they are holy emotions. Tingnan natin to. The full range of emotion is attributed to God. Exodo, sa 10 utos mismo. Huwag mo silang yuyukuran yung pagbabawal ng mga imahen at mga idolo o paglilingkuran man sila sapagkat akong Panginoon mong Diyos ay Diyos na mapanibughuin na aking pinarurusahan ng mga anak dahil sa kasamaan ng mga magulang hanggang sa 3 at 4 na salinlahi ng mga napopuot sa akin. So that's emotion or some awit, siyam na po. Sinong nakakaalam ng kapangyarihan ng galit mo at ng iyong galit ayon sa pagkatakot na marapat sa iyo? So totoo yung kanyang galit sa kasalanan, pero totoo rin yung kanyang hangarin para sa makasalanan. Ezekiel, sabihin mo sa kanila kung paanong buhay ako, sabi ng Panginoong Diyos, wala akong kasiyahan sa kamatayan ng masama, kundi ang masama ay tumalikod sa kanyang lakad at mabuhay. Manumbalik kayo mula sa inyong masasamang lakad, sapagkat bakit kayo mamamatay o sambahayan ni Israel? How can you read that without a sense of pathos? The pathos of God for sinners. Ang full range of emotion ay kinikilala sa ating Diyos. Hindi lamang yan, God is said to be emotionally affected. Isaiah 63:9. In all their affliction, He was afflicted. The angel of His presence saved them. So, pansin niyo yun. Sa inyong paghihirap, nahihirapan siya. Di ba, kuminsan kapag ikaw ay kahit chinachastise mo yung anak, dinidisiplina mo, pumapalaho siya sa iyak, ikaw man ay nasasaktan. So, merong emotional response sa kanilang hirap. But something that you need to do. Or, yun ding relasyon natin sa Diyos ay may mga angkop na emosyon. Matthew 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So, ang punto riyan ay yung pagkalinga ng Diyos, may katapat na emosyon sa Kristiyano na kapanatagan. Hindi magpairal ng takot ng dahil sa pagiging ama ng ating Diyos. Kaya ang isang aplikasyon niyan, we must have a healthy attitude to emotion and a godly expression of it. Dito tayo nasusubok madalas. Kaya pairalin natin yung isip sa na mangibabaw sa ating emosyon. No, pagdating sa usapin ng panambahan, eh dyan natin sinasabi, emotion in worship is not by artificial and manipulated production. Yan ang nangingibabaw na pananaw ngayon. Para may emosyon sa panambahan, kailangan ganito. And marami akong naatinan na ganyang praise and worship. And it's full blast of musical instruments, thinking that this is the way to evoke emotion. And we reject that. Instead, we go back to the scriptures. This is the original King James Version of 1611, open to 2 Timothy 4, where it says in verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. So, ang paniwala natin, merong emosyon na pagtugon sa Diyos, sapagkat ang Diyos natin ay may emosyon, pero yung emosyon na yun, dapat na udyukan ng nauunawaan natin sa salita ng Diyos. Kaya salita ng Diyos ang pinanggagalingan ng dapat na makadiyos na emosyon. We believe in the power of the Word. Here is an instance from the journal of David Brainerd, a typical description of a service. The influence of God's Word was not confined to those who had given evidences of being truly gracious. Though at this time I calculated my discourse for and directed it chiefly to such, but it appeared to be a season of divine power in the whole assembly, so that most were, in some measure, affected. One aged man in particular, lately awakened, was now brought under a deep and pressing concern for his soul, and was earnestly inquisitive how he might find Jesus Christ. God seems still to vouchsafe that is blessed His divine presence and the influence of His blessed Spirit to accompany His word, at least in some measure, in all our meetings for divine worship. So that's David Brainerd's journal for November 1745, a typical description of a service where the word rules. At hindi natin ipagpapalit ang salita ng Diyos para sa pag-udyok ng tamang tugon sa ating Diyos. At kung ito ang pairali natin, mga kapatid, we must stress that knowledge of and response to God's attributes should become the essence of our worship. Nang humiling si Moses, show me your glory, was the glory of the Lord. These attributes. When God wanted to reveal Himself to the people of Israel, attributes. At kapag attributes tayo, sa attributes ng Panginoon tayo nagre-respond, there is no place for self-occupation. No place for a spirit like this. I have a problem with low self-esteem, which is really ridiculous when you consider how amazing I am. Walang puwang sa ganyang diwa. Pero yan ang mababasa ninyo sa maraming popular na Christian writings ngayon and Christian discourses on air and from the pulpit, stoking self-esteem. Instead, when Job got to know the Lord in a personal way, what was the response? And this is our last presentation. Job 42:5, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Let me paraphrase that using what we have already discussed. Ang sinasabi niya riyan, to me, you were before an I he and an I it, a subject I studied, a subject I heard about. But now you are I thou. I see you. The effect, not self-esteem. Why? I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Maraming tanong si Job. Marami siyang kuminsan nagiging bintang sa Panginoon sa kanyang paghihirap. Ngunit nang nagpakilala na ang Diyos sa kanya, ito ang effect. And my challenge to each one of us when we study the attributes, study the attributes of God with a full response of our humanity. Those attributes are meant to evoke the response of worship, of admiration, and of course, repentance for how short we fall from the demands of those attributes. So any question? Any clarification? Myla.
Pastor, pag nakikipagniig ang isang tao sa Panginoon, dealing with God in that I-thou relationship, meron bang tamang sequence o proportion, porsyento na you deal with God dun sa attribute niya na pag-ibig, justice, dapat ba laging magkakasama yon at a time? Dapat mauna muna yung justice, mercy, or what? And is it unhealthy kung parang napofocus dun sa isa ang pag-relate ng isang tao o ng isang Kristiyano sa Panginoon in that I-thou relationship?
Okay, thank you. And of course, gaya na sinabi ko, hindi sila maaring paghiwalayin, pero sa iba't ibang karanasan ng ating buhay, may attribute, may katangian na mas matimbang, mas makahulugan sa atin, and it doesn't have to be put into a formality of order and sequence, parang nagiging meaningful na sa iyong love, pero sasabihin mo, teka muna, kailangan justice muna. It's not like that. Kundi based on how we are situationally, there are attributes that will be more meaningful, more applicable para sa sitwasyon na yon, at hayaan natin na maging matimbang talaga yung attribute na yon without worrying about whether you're doing it in the right sequence or order. But ang warning ay huwag kang magdiin masyado sa isang attribute na nagiging kalaban na o nagiging nagwawalang bahala na sa isa pang attribute. So yan ang point, na hindi sila naglalaban-laban, bagamat may pagkakataon mas matimbang ang isa, ang isang attribute dahil sa iyong kalagayan. June.
Pwedeng pag-clarify po yung sinabi na ang kanyang puot ay umaabot sa ikatlong hanggang ikaapat na generation ng kanyang anak na kinapupuotan o kinagalitan.
Well, it means that this consequence of sin of one generation can have generational effect. Pero ang nakabibigla rito, and this is a recent discovery of mine, yung sinabi ron na he visits iniquity on the third and fourth generation because iniquity has a generational effect. Yung contrast niyan, sinabi roon ay he forgives and gives grace to a thousand. At yung thousand, hindi yung thousand people. Ang contrast niya, third and fourth generation, the thousand there should be interpreted as thousands of generations. Which shows that grace still more abundant than even his wrath. And that's Romans 5:20. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Kung minsan nga lang, nakikita agad ng mga tao, ay, but third and fourth generation binivisit ang iniquity. Hindi nila nakikita yung contrast na he visits with grace thousands. Amayla, go ahead.
Pastor, follow-up dun sa tanong ko kanina, but more on dun sa mga unbeliever or mga bagong Kristiyano siguro, or yung na-expose sa gospel na ang focus lang ay love and mercy. Parang nahahapyawan lang hindi na ituturo ng maliwanag at ng tama yung wrath, yung justice ng Panginoon, can there be real salvation? And how should the person or the professing Christian deal with his spirituality kung maalala niya na ganun pala yung pinagdaanan niya and he is professing to be a Christian?
Well, kailan dalhin natin sa pinaka-katuturan ng Ebanghelyo. Ang Ebanghelyo ay yung tinatawag nating justification by faith. A justification by faith means dealing with God as lawgiver. Merong broken law, nasuway mo ang batas ng Diyos. Ang problema mo ngayon ay paano mo mabibigyang sagot ang batas na iyong nalabag. Kaya doon ko binigay yung justice needs to be satisfied. So, to appeal to mercy without seeing how justice can be satisfied is a half-baked gospel na karaniwang nagre-result sa false conversion more than true conversion. Kaya maingat tayo sa bagay na yan sapagkat siyempre gusto ng mga tao kapayapaan, katiyakan, at napakadaling ibigay niyan. Pero ang wala sila ay yung sagot sa batas ng Diyos na kanilang nasuway. At yun ang tinutugon ng Ebanghelyo. Kapag hindi natin tinutugon ng usapin ng batas ng Diyos, ang kanyang hustisya na dapat na pairalin, wala tayong kumpletong Ebanghelyo. Ian.
Pastor, for example, the Lord Jesus Christ usually uses symbols to para ihambing yung kanyang sarili. For example, yung statement siya na I am the bread of life and then I am the living water. Is there a danger in for example, parang ang nagiging tendency is, for example, I think of a bread and then its properties, parang kung paano siya naging nakakapagbigay ng kalakaran sa isang tao, or for a water, for example, how yung mga properties ng water ay nagiging beneficial sa isang tao. And then, to use that, parang that image to give glory to God. Is there a danger in that?
Oh, mag-ingat tayo sa ganong approach. Tandaan natin, ang basic ng approach sa New Testament interpretation ay karaniwan yan merong Old Testament background. So halimbawa, binanggit mo yung I am the bread of life. Very obvious ang Old Testament background doon ay yung manna. The manna that rained upon the Israelites on the wilderness. Ngayon, ang pinakakatuparan niyan ay si Jesus who came from heaven. So yan ang sinabi, I am the bread who came from heaven, which is exactly what how the manna was described in the wilderness. At ito na ang katuparan noon, si Jesus. So tingnan natin yung mga pinanggagalingan na Old Testament background ng mga ganun kesa bigla nating tingnan lahat ng mga ano yung totoo sa tinapay, eh totoo rin sa kay Jesus. At yan ang tinatawag namang allegorical interpretation. We must avoid allegorical interpretation. Instead, we interpret the New Testament text based on its context and then its Old Testament background. Ang napakahalaga sa mga I am sayings ni John, pitong I am sayings yan, ay yung mismong I am. Kasi sa mga Griego, kapag sila'y gagamit ng I am, tinatanggal na nilang I. Parang sila pag nagtitext, tanggal na yung I. We'll go there. There's only one exception that they will complete the I am. In Greek, ego eimi. Sa karaniwang statement, tanggal ang ego. Pero in one exception, you complete ego eimi. When the speaker is God. And in all seven statements of I am by Jesus in the Gospel of John, it's complete ego eimi. Yun ang significance noon. Besides yung kinakarakterize niyang bagay, I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life, the I am is a claim to deity. Other questions? Tandaan natin yung sa basic ng Shorter Catechism, what is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But what does that mean? It means see the glory of His attributes. Hindi lang yan to glorify God, to invoke God's glory. To glorify God is to see and perceive and enjoy and worship the attributes of God. This is how God comes to us, remember, not direct na coming, no one can see me and leave, but rather He comes to us through His attributes. Anymore? Mayla.
Pastor, sa Old Testament, yung emotion nila ay nagtutulak sa kanila para sumamba na may kasamang paglundag, pagsayaw. Bakit po hindi nangyayari sa atin ito ngayon? At least sa ating iglesia, kasi sa ibang iglesia po nangyayari.
Well, unang-una, pag-ibahin natin yung ganong nangyayari during times of feasts, national feasts. So may mga ganyang kasayahan, especially during victories in war, harvest time. So talagang may kasayahan at hindi natin pipigilin ang sino man na gusto niya magsaya sa ganung paraan, no problem. But in the tabernacle and in the temple, the way to worship God was strictly regulated. Kaya ang sabi roon ay, the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth be silent. You cannot just give way to your emotion uncontrolled in the tabernacle or in the temple. Now, outside that, national feasts, that's all right. So kagaya rin yan, mga Kristiyano, magsama-sama, may kasayaan, maglulundag, gusto nila magsaya ng ganoon, walang pipigil sa kanila. But the church is the equivalent now of temple. When we gather together in the church, there is a regulation to be maintained. Sabi ni Paul, let everything be done with decency and in order. However, and this is where the however becomes important, there are times of revival. A time of revival is when the Spirit descends upon an assembly and takes control in a manner that people lose control. But that's a sovereign operation of the Holy Spirit. Kaya walang makakapigil ng ganoon. I told you about Jonathan Edwards, his popular sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Pinrest niya yun sa kanyang church, not much effect. And then, on July 8, 1741, he preached it in Enfield, in Boston. And the Spirit descended. And there was what you may call chaos, a holy chaos, when people responded without control to the Word of God. That's revival that is outside our control. Kaya hindi yun natin pwedeng i-manufacture, hindi yun pwedeng i-schedule, it just happens. But in the regular order of the church assembly, everything should be done with decency and in order. So we cannot schedule that. Doon sa America, mayroong magkatabing church, bilang block na church. Doon sa isang church, sabi roon ay revival here every Tuesday. Doon sa kabilang church, revival here every day except Tuesday. Siguro yung Tuesday lumilipat doon sa kabilang church. That's an arrogant claim. You cannot schedule revival. It just happens. Teng.
Pastor, isa po sa mga books na nabasa ko about attributes of God na paulit-ulit at napakaganda pong basahin yung kay A.W. Pink. Ano pa po ang mga libro babasahin na pwede niyong i-recommenda, lalo na po sa nagsisimula pa lang pong pag-aralan ang attributes ng Panginoon?
Donald MacLeod, a Scottish theologian, meron siyang Behold Your God, very thought-evoking as well as meditative approach to the attributes, yet very theological without going to the scholarly vocabulary. So I find that very helpful, and there are many more na magandang pag-aralan. Meron pa? Tina.
Totoo nga po na kung makikilala po talaga natin yung ating Diyos na sabi nga po doon sa Isaiah 40:28, who is everlasting, which means He is eternal, wise, the Creator, who is omnipotent, almighty, who faint not nor grow weary, magdodraw po talaga tayo all the more sa Kanya, knowing Him personally. Yun pong naalala ko nga din po yung isang kanta na I can see you, Lord, every hour, every day. I can see you whenever I pray. So magkadugtong po palagi yung dun po natin siya mas makikilala lagi in every page of the Bible. At hindi po natin maiiwasan talaga na mas lalo siyang purihin sa araw-araw, oras-oras na makita natin siya sa bawat pangyayari po, sa bawat detalye ng ating buhay. Kahit nga po yung may ipalala lang po siya sa ating bagay, na nakita po natin siya doon, makikita po natin yung attribute at it will elicit in us nga po yung proper response, which is worship and thanksgiving. At yun po, we can truly say with the psalmist na, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. At kaya po talagang sana po ito po yung talagang maging response po ng bawat isa. Ganon din po ng mga hindi pa nakakakilala sa Kanya. Napakabuti po ng Diyos, napakaganda po niya. Kung makikita niyo po yung kagandahan niya sa Panginoong Hesukristo, yun po ang maglalapit po sa inyo, sa ating lahat, na mas lalo pa po siyang sambahin sa Espiritu at sa katotohanan.
Okay, thank you. And again, yun ang point natin na these attributes are there for us to respond to them. At ang response hindi dapat an academic response. Now I know what faithfulness means, or now I know what God's love means. You can know it academically and theologically and yet be without response. Ang dapat may response at beginning next week, I will advocate a division of attributes which is oriented to response. Kasi iba-ibang division ng attributes, yung mga nakakaalam sa inyo ng theology, iba-iba yan since theological history of theology. I will advocate a division of the attributes between two classifications, greatness, attributes of greatness, and attributes of goodness. And the reason is because I see in the scriptures these two sets of response to God. To His attributes of greatness, we are to praise. To His attributes of goodness, we are to give thanks. So it must be oriented, in our study of attributes, we will orient it to how we respond to those attributes. Ian.
Pastor, siguro one of the attributes that Christians are uncomfortable with is the wrath of God. How should that attribute evoke praise from us, especially when we see them sa Old Testament, God bringing instant judgment dun sa mga rebellious Israelites?
Okay, you might be shocked by my answer. Wrath is not an attribute of God. Wrath is a function of His holiness, but wrath is only present where there is sin. And attributes of God are those characters of God that are always His. Pero wrath only becomes present when there is sin. Kaya hindi siya palaging nasa Kanya. Pero lagi siyang holy. Now, when holiness perceives sin, it becomes wrath. So wrath is a function of one of His attributes, but wrath itself is not an attribute. Because when we speak of God's attributes, attributes are those that He eternally possesses. Yung nasa Kanyang huwag magpawalang hanggan, mula sa walang hanggan, tungo sa walang hanggan. So, there was a time when there was no wrath because there was no sin. I don't consider wrath as an attribute, but it is a function of one of His attributes. Some last thoughts? Myla?
Pastor, we know that lahat tayo may knowledge in different degrees, but assuming that a person here claims that he has knowledge enough, that means hindi lang head knowledge and experience of God, salvation. And then hopefully in dahil sa mga mensahe niyo sa umaga ngayong buwan tungkol sa Sodom and Gomorrah, na identify na niya yung kanyang Sodom na pumipigil sa kanya upang tuloy-tuloy na sumunod sa Panginoon. And then the response is, sabi natin, we don't raise hands, we don't walk to the altar. Anong practical na response ng isang nakakilala na sa Panginoon?
The response on a private level is call upon the Lord. Romans 10:13. Now, response on the public level is to profess your faith before the people of God through testimony and baptism. So, hindi natin sinasabing ang baptism ay means of salvation. It is rather way of recognizing those who are saved. Pero on the private level, it's a transaction, if I may use that word, between Christ and the sinner himself. And what specific action that saving response is indicated in the New Testament is calling upon the Lord. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yung call yun ng isang nakakita ng kanyang kasalanan. Kaya nga, we do not believe that you dictate it. We do not put a formula to it. Calling there is the spontaneous and the fruit of one's conviction of sin and recognition that Jesus is the Christ who died and rose again. Yun ang context. And when he confesses that, then he calls upon the name of the Lord in a saving call. Hindi natin madidikta, hindi natin yung mapoformula, pero mangyayari yon sa isang nasumbatan at nagkumilala sa Panginoong Hesukristo. But it will be on a private level. Carol?
Father, I was just like to add something na. Siguro, Pastor, the reason why most mankind don't really give thanks or give praises to God is because they, in our everyday life, they don't really seek God. Like, say, for example, we look at nature, we don't really think that someone created this. If something happens to us, people attribute it as bad luck. Like, if they win on something, they attribute it as good luck. Or they attribute it as happening to them because of their own efforts. So, yung problem talaga po with us, as says in Romans, is that we don't really seek God, yung mankind. Though, of course, tayo po na Kristiyano, we are very privileged because we do know that we have a Creator whom we owe things and whom we are accountable to and who is in control of everything around us. That's why we really savor more and really experience and see the attributes of God in our daily life.
Okay, thank you, Carol. Yun ang sinabi ng Romans 1 nga, na although it is clear in creation, yet they suppress that knowledge. And among other reasons, sabi ng Romans 3, they do not seek after God. Hindi nila hinahanap ang Diyos. Kaya magbibigay sila ng sarili nilang paliwanag. Yun ang sinabi na bad luck, good luck, karma, etc. Instead of seeing the providence of God. So, ang magiging reaction talaga natin when we study the attributes is how short we fall sa standard ng attribute. But at the same time, yun ang point ng Job. I abhor myself now that I see you. And there should be that reaction. There should be that response. We fall short of the attribute of God. And yet, all the more reason why we should praise Him and thank Him that He revealed Himself to us. Thank you.
Pastor, maganda po itong tinuturo niyong attributes kasi kanina po nabanggit niyo yung verse na those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Marami pong professing na nananampalataya. Gusto po yung verse na yon, pero pagdating po sa attributes na pag may nakita po silang attribute na salungat sa kanilang gusto, parang kakaiba na sa kanila. Kasi po may napanood ako sa YouTube isang preacher na yun ang tinuturo, si Christ ang pinipreach, pero sinabi niya na yung sovereignty of God is a wicked teaching. Nagulat ako, kaya sabi ko kailangan talagang Kristiyano makilala ang Diyos, ang kanyang attributes. So ano po ang reaction niyo dito?
Did he even consider the context of Romans 10:13? It is in that context where God said, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion, and whom I harden, I will harden. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. It is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of him who shows mercy. And Jacob have I loved, and Esau I have hated. And that the will of election might stand. So it's a section, Romans 9 to 11, is a section of Romans full of the sovereignty of God. So how can you pick out a text like Romans 10:13 and use it to deny the sovereignty of God? It is the height of dishonesty to Scripture. And that's the kind of approach that easily provokes me. I need to restrain, because one of the attributes we will study is God's patience. Other questions? Any more? Sige, ay.
Pardon me, Pastor, if this is a case of ignorance or lack of understanding, pero kasi nung sinasabi nga yung isang attributes ng God, hindi niya ipapakita yung sarili niya, yung mukha niya, no? Pero tama ba yon? Tama ba yung pagkaunawa ko na pag tayo in-establish niya ni Christ or yung heavenly kingdom niya, si Christ yung makikita natin? Physically?
Physically, yes.
Yeah, but God the Father himself, we would never see him. Only
no,
his glory.
No physical as far as Father and the Spirit are concerned.
Ayun. O, tama. Tama yung aking ano. I thought I was too ignorant about that. Kaya kinukonfirm ko lang po.
Yeah, because Jesus, since his incarnation, will be human forever, God-man forever. Kaya lagi siyang merong physical attribute, meron siyang human form palagi. And even when we see him in heaven, we will see him in that human form. Pero when we talk of the attributes, we are talking of divine attributes that belong to the Godhead. Okay. Fe.
Pastor, patungkol sa ano, sa profession ng faith. What if meron ng mga young people dito or member dito na convicted na sila doon sa acceptance sa Panginoong Jesus, pero hindi nila alam kung paano gagawin yun. Ano po ang pwede nilang, may advice nyo sa kanila?
Okay, ipapakita ko lang yung elemento nung tanong na paano gagawin, kasi ganyan din yung mentality ko noon. Pag sinabi yung paano gagawin, inilalagay natin uli sa anong hakbang, anong mga pananalita, anong mga sasabihin para magawa natin. Let me use an illustration. Halimbawa, isang pulubi, beggar, alam niyang beggar siya, nangangailangan siya. And then may nakita siyang nag-a-approach sa kanya na kumukuha ng, he assume na pera sa kanyang bulsa. At kumbinsido siya na magbibigay, sa palagay mo, sasabihin niya, ano kayang anggulo ng aking braso mula rito at yung palad ko? Ang punto riyan ay hindi niya iisipin yon. Hindi niya iisipin yung paano ko gagawin ito. Ang kanyang focus ay dun sa magbibigay. Kung kumbinsido siyang magbibigay, it becomes the instinctive response of the beggar to receive. Ganun ang calling. Pag siya call upon the Lord, dahil nakilala na niya ang Lord, alam niyang sinner siya, the calling is the instinctive response of the soul, and he will not ask, how do I do this calling thing? His focus is on the Lord. Kaya yan ang point ng gospel. Ipakilala mo ang Panginoon. Kapag nakilala niya ang Panginoon, alam niya ang pagkamakasalanan niya ay, at ang Espiritu ay kumilos sa kanya, tutugon siya without bothering about paano. Because ang mahalaga na tanong sa gospel ay, sino? Once kumbinsido siya sa sino, siya ay tatawag sa kanya. So sana maging challenge ito sa atin na ang challenge rin sa akin para na-refresh ako sa naging response ni Moses sa kanyang encounter with the Lord. The Lord passed before him, and yet what passed is not anything that he can say. Oh, there's the Lord passing. Rather, the passing of the Lord before Moses means attributes. And those evoked in Moses a response of worship and reverence. Sana sa bawat attribute na pag-aaralan natin, magsisimula tayo next week sa mga specific attributes, we will evoke response of praise and thanksgiving. Manalangin po tayo. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kaming lubos sa mga katotohanan ng iyong salita na nagpapakita sa amin ng papel ng mga katangian mo bilang Diyos na dapat naming kilalanin, pag-aralan, ngunit sana'y hindi lang kami matapos sa pag-aaral at pagkakaalam ng mga bagay na ito. Tulungan mong kagaya ni Moises sa pagkakilala niya ng mga katangian, siya yumukod at sumumbang sa iyong katangian. Ganito mo kaming hikayatin at hamunin sa tuwi-tuwi na kami ay mag-aaral ng iyong mga katangian. Make us worshipers. And in our worship, let us help us to both praise and to give thanks to all the gloriousness of your attributes. We thank you indeed that we have the pages of the scriptures to depend upon. And when we think of the way we respond to you, may it be the instinct of our souls responding to the glory that is before us. And let this series of study be a challenge to growth to every believer, a challenge to conversion to those who are yet outside the Lord Jesus Christ, a challenge to the church to be a good testimony of the attributes that we worship. So be with us. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.